for how bad it was. I was under no preconception that any of this is real and that any of this stuff is actually good.
But
the rest of these, though, my God.
Yeah, because we watched, because that was during the X era. And we also watched, what was, because was Flavor Flav first? Before Rock of... I think that was before Rock of Love.
Yeah, because that was Flavor of Love, right?
Yeah, Flavor of Love.
Yes, okay. You know, I don't know. But the Flavor of Love one was equally as bad. So, but it was also VH1 back then, and they were trying to make their own identity from MTV. So I was also...
Okay, release date 2006 for season one.
2006, oh my gosh.
No, 2007, season one for Rock of Love.
Okay. So they figured we got, well, at least like Flavor Flav, they already had him on one of their goofy ass reality shows. Was that Surreal House? Yeah, because it was him and like Bridget Nielsen. Brigitte Nielsen.
Yes.
Yeah, and then they had their own show.
Yep.
And it's like, this garbage has been going on forever.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just, but now it's taken over everything. And we've talked about it before, but like, network TV is trash.
There's like a handful of, well, and I mean, we still don't, we haven't consistently watched them. There's like a handful of shows maybe on network TV that we watch.
Not a one. Now that, especially now with football's over, there ain't no chance.
Because, I mean, we like Will Trent. That's like a detective show. That one's pretty good. Trying to think. There might not be anything else. Honestly.
Oh, you said a handful. Then,
I'm like,
one.
No, it might just be one.
No, dude, every time. NBC, Chicago Wednesdays. I don't care about Chicago. I don't. So why do I want to watch a show? Three shows in a row with fire, police, and whatever else. Like, I don't care. And then CBS. Hey, make sure you watch NCIS. NCIS Australia. NCIS Your Mother. Like, I don't care about any of those. And then if someone tries to tell me, hey, you should watch that show Ghosts, you can die. That show's god-awful.
Oh, my God. Yeah, like, we saw that it was highly recommended, and I don't know if it was on after one of the big football games last year or something. We're like, sure, whatever. This is supposed to be good. We'll stick around and watch it. Even the wife's like, this is awful. And I'm just like, oof. Like, when she's pulling that out,
that's true.
Not good. Not good.
Yeah. You're right. It was after something because it was on. And we were at my parents for some reason. No one's laughing. My parents are barely even paying attention to the show because I turned around and I go, you can change this. She goes, oh, I thought you wanted to watch this. I was like, I never said I did. I go, this is a comedy and not one of us has laughed. Not even like an embarrassing, this is so bad laugh. And oh my God. Just, I love when shows. Especially, I really love when comedy explains the joke. Like, they showed a preview for something, and I guess the girl can see the ghost, but the guy can't.
Correct.
And they kept showing him, they were trying to find, like, with the big mystery was one of the ghosts left. I only know this from watching football. And he runs in the room, he goes, I don't know why I'm looking, I can't see ghosts. And I'm like, explaining it. Never mind. Like,
yeah, I'm like, you're not doing yourselves any favors here. And then I'm like, they have the spinoff for Ghosts UK, and I'm like, I am lost here. I am at a loss for what is going on here.
Maybe Ghosts UK was the original one.
And no,
they just stole it, made it. No, oh no.
No, this is a spinoff. Like, Ghost.
Oh, like they have NCIS Australia.
Yeah.
Oh my fuck. CBS just, they dominate, I guess. But
oh,
it's just, we're not old enough, I guess. I hope to never be that old.
Yeah, I mean, I do die that it is, you know, literally my parents and my in-laws that are watching a lot of CBS.
Yes, and that's why I said, like, I hope to get that old, but never act that old. It's weird. These procedurals and just trash TV. And if I got to hear one more time from my parents, oh, do you watch Dancing with the Stars? I've never watched that show. It's been on for years. Stop asking. Oh, well, real quick, I don't care. I don't care about these people dancing at all. It's just stupid. And the idea that these are celebrities, get out of here. Like,
oh, yep. You know what? That cop show is the only one in our library that is a network TV show.
God,
everything else is cable in nature that we have on there.
Yeah, and it's like, it's no surprise. Like, I don't really care about the awards, but I do, like, you know, you can't help but see who won. And it's like all cable shows. Well, yeah, because they can do that. Where networks have got to make sure, you know, mom, and pa, nowhere tune in so they can buy their Prilosec OTC and whatever AARP suggested drugs come across the screen. Like, it's just, ugh. You see the stuff that used to come across networks, and you're like, that'd be on cable now, that'd be on cable now. Like, I'm surprised Community made it to NBC, but of course it didn't do very well either.
Oh, so, yeah, there was a reason it was, felt like it was a dogfight just to keep that on TV for as long as they did. You know, it seemed like every season, oh, is it going to get canceled? It's just like, huh? Like, this is one of the funniest things you've ever put on TV. What the fuck are you doing here?
Yeah, well, same with Arrested Development, too.
Oh, yeah.
That no one... the only reason I watched that was David Cross was in it. And I used to really like him back then. And watching it, I was like, this show is amazing. It still is when you go back and watch it. All the subtleties. Just different nuances. Like, oh, my God. So, but, yeah, no, really, I guess, with the streaming services has also kind of taken that over, too, when, you know, Netflix has their own shows. Netflix just gets shows from other countries, just throws them up there. It's like, Jesus, this is crazy.
Yep. Have already talked about on this here podcast definitely foreign TV shows have been watched upon with my eyes quite frequently. So... Yeah. A lot of them are off Netflix. Not all of them.
No. Well, I'll end up getting HBO again sooner or later because I know, like, House of Dragons coming back, and then I guess Penguin's going to be on there. But it's like, are they ever going to make another Batman movie with Robert Pattinson? So I like the first one, but
yeah, I still haven't ended up seeing that one.
It's good. It's more of a detective.
Oh.
And it gets superhero-ish in spots, of course, but it's more of a detective show or movie, and that's what I liked.
Okay, cool.
So his take on Bruce Wayne's a little weird, but it's only like year three, I think, year four, something like that. But
so he's supposed to be pretty early in the Batman.
Yeah, he makes mistakes too, which like that is like some of the comedy, if you want. But it wasn't like a Marvel movie where. Everything's got to be funny now.
Oh.
So it was pretty refreshing. So, speaking of movies, though, I went and saw Godzilla Minus One, Minus Color.
Yeah.
On Tuesday. What'd you think, since we've both seen both of them?
This is my hot take after that. I want... to watch it in color with Japanese and the subtitles.
Yeah.
I do, like, there's always something to me about Godzilla because the first ones that I watched were black and white. there is something that I'm like, I need to go watch this in black and white, because like, that's, come on, it's a Godzilla thing.
Yeah.
And I still think, you know, I was a little bit worried. Just, I thought that they did such a great job with the CGI for Godzilla.
Yeah.
There, I'm like, I don't know how this is going to work out. Like, I mean, that was really baller and Keller. And I'm like, there's still something, just still the way that you get the silhouette, the shape of Godzilla, that I feel like really works. Again, like, I think that it really works in black and white, no matter the era. You know?
Yeah. See, I liked it. I mean, obviously, I still like the movie. I still liked it in color better, because I thought it was more, like, it's for as, you know, washed out and as desolate as some of it is, I still thought it was more vivid. I mean, color is going to give you that more, you know, vivid sense anyways. It's just, I don't know. My idea, like, halfway through it was, I'd really love to see these side by side. Oh. Like we all got big enough TVs by now that you could watch both, and that'd be sweet. Like, that's got to be a Blu-ray or a 4K release. Like, hey, watch them side by side. Or
yeah, I was also thinking that would be a really fun take. Yeah. Would be to watch both of them side by side.
And it was kind of nice knowing what's coming, so I could concentrate on other things while I'm watching.
Oh, like,
different character like traits or ticks and that.
Yeah,
and that's just. That wasn't a nominated for an Oscar, was it? Those came out, didn't they?
They should have come out, and since it was released in December, it should be for last year's set. But yeah, I mean, I would not have blamed them for getting, even if it was at least a special effects thing, like, because that was, Godzilla just really looked like he was there. Like, yes. It did not really look fake at all.
Let's see, after
like that, just because I still think that they're, even with the Marvel one, like, Marvel does a really good job for the most part, but sometimes it just gets overused, and maybe that kind of was the other charm of Godzilla, is that he was in the movie just enough.
I'm going through here, and no, here we go. Barbie. Oh, Barbie's in there. Have you seen Barbie yet?
Still have not seen it.
Okay, either have I. So.
You know, because is that on a service now?
I think HBO Max.
Well, there lies my problem. Still have not had said service, so.
I don't know what half of these are. American Fiction? Nope. Anatomy of a Fall? Nope. Barbie. The Holdovers, I do know. Killers of the Flower Moon. Maestro, I've heard of. Oppenheimer, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Past Lives? No. Poor Things? I think I saw a commercial for it. Looked interesting. Zone of Interest. Is that a CBS show? Like, what the fuck is this? It's not on here. It's actually not in here. All right, what about Sound? Fucking Sound alone. Visual effects. Godzilla Minus One for visual effects.
Yeah.
And it's, you clearly win. Seeing who it's up against. And because I've actually seen all these.
Yeah, when he.
That's embarrassing, dude. That movie is fantastic.
When Godzilla powers up to use the heat rain, that is sweet.
That first time, I just remember being stunned. Like, it's never been like this. Because it's always been, like, kind of goofy. Like, and then it blows up, right?
Yeah.
Or it just shoots fire. This is an atomic breath. When it hits, it's an atomic explosion, basically. Like, that's crazy. It's terrifying. Like,
and Godzilla needed to recharge after sending one off, and it was actually part of the plan to try and kill Godzilla was counting on something getting nuked.
Yeah, I mean, I know it falls into, like, some goofy tropes at the end with, like, the guy not listening and the tugboat spoilers and the tugboat showing up, which, watching it again, they established, hey, the cranes are going to fail. And the tugboat's like, who cares? We're pulling you anyways. Okay. But yeah, I mean, the black and white, I will say, like, the initial chase scene, if you want to call it that, where Godzilla's in the water.
Oh, yeah.
In black and white, you actually got more detail of the scales and his eyes.
Yeah.
That was very eye-opening. Like, wow.
Yeah, I do remember that part sticking out to me also.
Supposedly, they only had 650, or was it 6,500 FX shots? Which is minuscule. Which compared to like 30,000 for, you know, an Avengers movie or something. So that's, I mean, that's, this movie was made for $15 million. I mean, that's crazy.
No, sort of like, yeah, that is a shoestring budget these days.
Yeah, I can't wait for that to come out on Blu-ray. Or, well, I guess 4K now, so I have a 4K player. Just to get it. And so I can, like, just look at it over and over again. Because even, like, it's got, for anyone who hasn't seen it, it's not what you think it's going to be. And yes, Godzilla's in it. God, that would be. But the devastation, the horror of it all, and that's just Godzilla, not including all the emotional and physical after effects of World War II, the politics of it, the culture of Japan, like all of this stuff in a Godzilla movie. It's like, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was definitely a take that I don't feel like you've gotten really out of a Godzilla movie. Like, you kind of know that it's that time period, but wow, yeah, they did kind of get into the politics of the whole situation.
Yeah, I mean, they got into that, the like family aspect.
Yeah,
like the guy's like, so what? You guys aren't married? Like, which is kind of funny, but it is back in the 40s. But he's also like, you're not, I told you, not your dad. And the guy's like, what's wrong with you? Like, why would you tell this baby who you're the only guy she's ever known? Like, yeah. And yeah. And because I picked up on some other stuff. It was just, I don't know, man. I'm just really impressed with it. So, but yeah, that's that. So,
yeah.
Yeah. That was really good. I purposely waited to ask you. So,
yep.
Well worth the money. But I would suggest color.
Yeah, like I said, I guess because I believe we had it in English dub when we watched it in Keller. So,
oh, no, really?
I believe so.
Oh, God, I'm sorry. That sucks.
It didn't sound bad, but, you know, I mean, it definitely is not what it used to be.
Okay.
Thank goodness. But yeah, that's why I said I would have liked the Keller with the subtitles, you know, just, yeah. That's another one where I'm like, oh, I guess I kind of forget that I'm somewhat used to subtitles between anime and, old Godzilla movies, you know.
Yeah, it's,
I've read my fair share of subtitles.
And I've always hated people saying, I don't like having to read at the movies. Like, it could be in a goddamn baby. You read it real fast and look up. Like, especially nowadays, subtitles should be nothing. With the way people on the phones doing this, doing three things at once, a subtitle should be nothing. And you don't miss anything. Unless you're like, you know, unless you got some reading impairment. But, you know. No, I can't stand dubs. I just don't like them. And we also grew up with, like, we used to get the Kung Fu movies. Oh. And it was just, like, that's where the jokes come from. They were so poorly done. But it's like, those got the bad rap. But I'm watching, like, old horror movies, like Italian horror movies. And the voices are awful. they don't sync up. Like, they sync up just enough to not be like distract. Not, well, it's distracting still. But just like how they did the Foley work and the like the dubs.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but everything was like that. So if someone's walking here, like, that's not how it sounds. That's not how shoes sound. But we really take for granted how good we have it now with our entertainment.
I don't feel like I do, but definitely a lot of people seem to take advantage.
Well, I mean, I think the standard's so high now that when it's poor, it comes off like bad dubs from the 50s and 60s.
Oh.
You know? Like,
yeah.
For example, did you see the new Ant-Man?
Yes.
Oh, my God. What did they make that with? Crayons? That was terrible.
Yeah, that was not good.
No.
Story wasn't good on top of that stuff, but
that story was impeccable. Are you kidding? That was like a string of, I saw Black Adam, yuck. Then I saw something else, and then that, and it was like, I can't do this to myself. Can I please go see something good? Just one thing good.
Oh man.
You can't afford to make bad movies now. People are slowly starting to go back to the movies, but not the way they used to. So it's like,
oh,
right? Like, I stupidly went and saw Aquaman. Did I tell you that?
And yeah. I guess I'm not surprised. We considered it, and then it's one of those ones where we have gotten to the point where we were never great about going out to the movies to start with. We almost never went opening weekend. Like, it had to have been something that was really, really up there for us to feel like doing that. And yeah, it was funny, like, even Fast X didn't even get there, and after watching that one, I'm like, yeah, I'm okay waiting for it to come out on Peacock again.
Which one was Fast X? Was that
Jason Momoa?
Oh yeah.
Like, they've kind of, like, as much as I, like, 5 through 8 are, like, really great, 9 and 10 here have gotten a little on the, hey, we haven't done this, so we're going to do this kind of territory, so.
Yeah. Yeah. It was still just as goofy stupid as the other ones, but it's like we've seen so much that nothing matters. Like, they bring everyone back from the dead, so nothing matters. John Cena dies for no reason. If you really think about it, there's absolutely no reason he should sacrifice himself. But I guess he'll just come back anyways. So,
yeah, that was kind of weird.
Yeah. So he's like, okay. And it's like, but I just love he's like the ultimate bad guy in the one before this, and then now he's like one of the family.
Yeah, sure. I mean, he got into the fold right quick.
I mean, he is his brother because they look exactly alike. So, but yeah, so it's like, it's, I'm not like, I didn't hate it, but I also was like, this isn't my favorite one.
That's exactly where I was at. Like, I'm like, okay, like, I didn't need to buy popcorn for this.
Right. It didn't have the lunacy of Hobbs and Shaw. Like, it tried with, like, Dom connecting a chain to the car or whatever in the beginning. But it didn't have, like, the absolute lunacy and idiocy of Hobbs and Shaw. Where, like, all these guys with guns are going to fight Samoans.
Who are just have sticks.
Yeah. And, like, okay. And a rock holding a helicopter and a tow truck together. Like, that's the kind of goofy shit that they just kind of missed. But whatever.
Yeah.
Aquaman wasn't good. So.
But, yeah, it takes a lot. And I guess it now, the point I was going to make. Stuff comes out on, you know, on some type of service now quick enough where it's just like, It's almost comes out quick enough where we probably wouldn't have gotten to it in the theaters any quicker than that.
Yeah, I mean, especially like Aquaman, I think was on digital. You could rent it or buy it. I think 2 weeks later. It's like, damn.
Yeah, and that's I guess that's the one thing that we have noticed. We're like, oh my gosh, like, because what was that? Even the one, the wife went to go see a rom com. What's Glenn? What's the guy Glenn? The famous good looking guy.
What?
I'm trying to think of the name of the movie here, and how quickly things just come in and out of the theater now.
Yeah, and like Marvel is stubborn about putting their stuff on their streaming stuff. And I kind of get it because, like, their movies aren't making the money they should be. Well, according to them, should be. Never mind the fact that, you know, the quality has plummeted. So, although I guess I shouldn't say that because I haven't seen Marvel's, but that just looks stupid. So.
Yeah, oh.
You know, like, whatever. But.
Oh, well. Glenn Powell is who I was thinking of here.
Glenn Powell. Sounds familiar.
He was Hangman in Top Gun, the new Top Gun.
I
forgot about that. Anyone But You was the rom-com that the wife went to go see with a girlfriend. That was another one, though, that they're just like, oh my gosh, like they realized, like, I think they were going the second week it was out or something like that, maybe third, and there was only like two showings a day at that point. Yeah. Like, that's one of those ones where it always dawns on me that, and I need to look for it, how long Return of the Jedi was in the theater.
Yeah, but that's kind of like it's an unfair comparison.
Yeah, I know that it is, but just, I guess, remembering that we were in an era when we were very young where things would stay in the theater for that long. And I guess some of that mentality has stuck around in my head, even though it really has not been the case for, like, I feel like the time period's shortened up even more recently, but it still, I guess, hasn't always fully sunk in with me. You know, like it is the new norm.
Yeah, it's just weird. Like, I don't know. I understand why they do it, but how do you want people to go just like see your movie if in the theater, which is where you're going to make more money, when you put it on the streaming service like 3 weeks later? You know, I know, like you're saying, like this one already had two showings only, but well, even like Godzilla, the Minus Color,
yeah,
only had one showing around here, like per day. But that's also like a small niche thing. So, but no, just movies in general. Like all these Academy Award movies, these are all small movies, it looks like. Oppenheimer and Barbie obviously weren't.
Oh.
But everything else sounds like it's just some tiny movie. Which I know, like Killers of the Flower Moon is not going to be a tiny movie because it's a Scorsese flick, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's everything. I always thought the theater was going to go to more grandiose movies. Like, you know, Marvel, everyone's blaming Marvel for ruining stuff, whatever, it's not their fault. It's the theater's fault for putting them out in 15 different theaters in a 20-theater Cineplex, you know? You could have had other stuff out there, but anyways. I thought movies were going to get bigger and, like, richer and, like, spectacle, story, and all that, where it's just gotten, we're just going to keep plugging this shit out there. And, like, all right, because look at Top Gun. Look what that did. Or Top Gun Maverick, obviously. I mean, that was just a big movie, and it was out forever because it was good. I mean, goofy as hell, but damn. I mean, it looked good. It paced, and the pace was a little strange, but, you know, the time frame, it didn't work. But I mean, look at the big successes. Barbie and Oppenheimer, they kind of marketed that to do that stuff. But at the same time, Oppenheimer's great. I haven't seen Barbie, but I've heard that's good too. So, but it's like, wow, yeah. It's almost like, oh, they have quality behind it.
Yeah.
Interesting how that works. So, but speaking of quality.
Vince McMahon keeps on giving us quality topics.
I haven't been able to talk about this at all because have you tried to talk to non-wrestling fans about this? Has anyone like brought it up to you?
I don't know if anyone in my office presently knows that I am a professional wrestling fan, really. And no one has ever discussed it with me, and it's not something that I am really ever going to bring up to someone.
Yeah, exactly. But see, everyone knows I am. So they'll be like, oh, Vince McMahon stuff, man, what's going on with that? And I'm like, I really don't feel like talking about it, you know? It's a weird, like, I know it's a huge story.
Right.
Because this, somehow Vince McMahon turned into a 1920s villain. With very, the Marquis de Sade sexual sensibility. Holy shit, man. Hey, listen, I'm all for, like, the joke of this stuff is, like, what he's into, right? And it's like, everyone's got their thing, okay? So, I guess I just didn't want to know that Vince McMahon, like, shitting on people while he has threesomes, like... Really? And like whenever I was reading this stuff, I was like, God,
I am just never gonna get why the poop stuff turns anyone on.
I don't understand it at all.
Quite frankly, like, because no matter the poop, it all has some type of a terrible smell. Like, I pray to God that no time during this podcast one of the cats comes down here and poops, because it is horrific. Mine, not good, ever. Like, it always smells bad. Like, why do you want to do that during intercourse or any type of sexual arousal?
I mean, I get... You've got those people that are into S&M and stuff.
Yeah.
BDSM, and I get it. Well, I don't get it, but that's like, you know, do what you want with that stuff. You kick, you like torture your balls and shit, or your lips, or whatever the chicks do to themselves, you know? But this stuff, yeah, I'm with you. Like, it's just, even talking about it's just gross. Like, remember Two Girls, One Cup when that came out?
Oh my gosh.
Did you ever see it?
Multiple times.
See, I've never seen it.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess by multiple, I want to say no more than five. I would venture to say maybe three times.
Okay. You know that was fake, right?
Oh.
It came out, but it was put in. Like, it was a concoction. It wasn't, like, real shit.
Oh.
Thank God. I again, I've never seen it. I've heard about it. And, like, any like, butt stuff outside of just, you know, penis and ass, I don't really care. Remember Opie and Anthony used to talk about putting, like, a baseball bat up girls' asses and stuff?
Hey.
And I was like, this is just stupid. What are we doing? But anyways.
Yeah.
So, like, but just now, we all remember the Kiss My Ass Club. Right?
Yes, we do.
And that takes on, like, that, you're kind of like 50% of the way into what he was doing.
Well, that has definitely been a topic of discussion in and of the fact that we're thinking that the Attitude Era and Ruthless Aggression Eras were a little too on the nose.
Yeah, because...
You know, like, you knew that there was some... And, I mean, I even feel like we talked about it. A, the podcast probably existed during the Ruthless Aggression Era, so there's that. And, yeah, like, you kind of knew that Vince was fantasizing a little bit pretty much the whole time.
Yeah, because, like, this isn't something you pick up at old age. You know, like, what, is he 78, 80 years old now or something like that?
Yeah.
You're not turning 65 and going, you know what? I'm really into submissive scat sex. So, yeah, I'm going to – Linda's denied me, or, you know? So this is – and I remember Jim Ross always talking about, like, Vince in his shit humor, and then, like, he was really proud of his farts and stuff. This is, like, in his book. So it's like, yeah, there's been something going on. And then I'm never surprised when people of power abuse power.
Oh.
Never.
Yeah. Yeah, that was definitely a Shahid and I topic extensive.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, okay, can you believe he did this?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I would actually be more surprised if they didn't. So, yeah. It's like, that. Why do you think there are so many catch... Oh, I almost dropped my laptop. That would have been a disaster. Because if it broke and I was still on mic, boy, what I would have said. Anyways, that's why there's so many, like, catchphrases for like, people in power. Like, what, absolute power corrupts? Absolutely.
No. You
know, all stuff like that. Like, there's a reason. These aren't new terms. So, yeah, it just – but not this. Like, I don't know.
It is one of those ones where it's just like, oof, man. Like, again, like, you know that something was off, but it's just like, good Lord, man. Especially when this is, like, very recent time. I guess that's the other thing I haven't really discussed is just, I believe the time period of this lawsuit is 21 to 23?
Yes. I thought it was 20 to 22.
Oh, 20 to 22?
Regardless, it ain't that far.
Yeah, this isn't like this is one of those, you know, kind of to your point, too, that you just don't pick this up. This is not early in life, Vince. Like, this is not some accusation dragged up from 25 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's accusations going back 40 years. And then now you got, like, this concrete one. And apparently he didn't feel like paying $3 million to her. He only gave her $1 million out of the three. So it's like, why? Okay, I'm going to take, like, the really bad stance on this. Pay her. Then none of this happens. Like, how stupid are you? Well, it's not stupidity. It's arrogance. It's absolute arrogance. So.
Yeah. Just... That and honestly, just not understanding technology at all. What do you mean? If those, in fact, are his text messages. It can be pretty easily linked. And that's some pretty damning evidence.
Hey, listen, alright, so, let's, like, whenever it comes to, like, sex stuff, I'm always like, people are into what they're into. You know, I've never been, and I'm not some Puritan, so, this dude wants to pass, I mean, it's not even his girlfriend, but, like, he wants to pass his girlfriend around and she's into it, cool, have fun, man. You know, no harm, no foul. You guys are having fun. It's consensual.
If
she's into, like, fucking his friends or, like whatever, cool. It's consensual. The problem here is, it sure as hell doesn't seem to be, or it seems like manipulation to the nth degree. And I've seen people say, well, let's see what her text messages say back. That's fair. But knowing, like, the background of this chick, like, her parents died, she, like, all this stuff that makes it easy for this 70 years old swoops in and, like, an easy manipulated 20-year-old at the time, 21,
yeah,
like down on her luck, nothing going on. And I know this sounds like a sob story from a movie, but from what we've been told, this is what happened.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those ones where it's just like, nah, guys, like, I'm sorry. Like, this is, yeah, I mean, even if those answers are in the affirmative, mm-hmm. you're taking advantage of someone.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just plain and simple. Like, they're
her a job that she doesn't do anything?
They're 21 and they need some help. Like, if you haven't been there, I kind of feel sorry for you. Like, if your life was that easy, fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and then, like, the stuff that really made me, and I, like, obviously taking a shit on her. Because, you know, it wasn't just once. So, but the stuff that got me was when, and this is the part I don't get, unless this is just how feared he is, when he was bragging about showing like her naked pics or whatever to like the rigging crew or something.
Oh gosh, I didn't get that deep into things.
I read the whole thing, and it's like, wait, how was this not like? Maybe that's why they're talking about the fostering of environment, but it's like part of me is trying to figure out if he's just being a braggadocious dickhead. Oh yeah, I just show your picture to everybody, which he didn't. Because do you really think Vince McMahon's just walking around the riggers who are putting the stage up? Hey guys, stop what you're doing for my TV show. Like, maybe I'm in the wrong. It just doesn't seem like a Vince thing.
Yeah, there's a lot in there that seems like a Vince thing, but that's not one of them.
Him, and again, him taking a shit on her seems like more of a Vince thing than him ever lowering himself to talk to the guys who actually put the show together. You know, you've seen that. We've heard stories about how he talks to wrestlers, how he treats wrestlers. Do you think he's gonna care? So that part, I'm like, I think he's just saying shit. And then Brock being pulled into the – oh, I'm sorry, a former UFC heavyweight champion getting brought into this. It's like that doesn't surprise me either. We kept saying Brock was like a different human being.
Uh-oh.
And it's like, okay, but
– I mean, I have always found the Sable and Brock pairing interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, I'm not trying to sound flip about this, but it's like, part of me is like the idea that, like, giving Brock pussy is going to make him sign? Like, okay? I don't know.
I mean, you don't offer unless you don't think the guy's into it, right?
That's very true.
And that's the only thing that I can think of in that situation, honestly. Yeah. It's just like, I don't know. I guess because you can tell that, you know, Brock's always been a Vince guy.
Yeah, I mean, he walked out when Vince got pushed out.
Yeah, so it would not be, you know, like of all the people, there's some people on the roster. Like if this woman had said like Mustafa Ali was in on the gig. I'd be like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah, he's like, hey, I'm not pressing. No. Yeah, but I think that's going to be the more interesting fallout from this is, I mean, who's the guy that owns TKO, Ari Emanuel?
I believe that is what it is. Or something.
I'm sure
like
he's got to be like, give her what she wants. like we can't let any disclosures come out. You know, and like handle it internally, fire whoever you need to. So you know, get rid of whoever you need to ensure that this doesn't bring anything down. You know, so that we don't lose. Because look, Slim Jim's getting ready to pull out, and apparently they're a big sponsor, which is hilarious if you think about it.
Well, yeah, I mean, because that part came and went already. Like, hey, we're going to leave the Royal Rumble, and then, like, 12 hours later, like, oh, Vince resigned, so we're back. And it's just like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, that's how quick it was, huh?
Yeah, and then even Netflix, they were like, they were monitoring it, and then I guess they asked the president of Netflix. She's like, no, Vince is gone. So we're not worried about it. He's gone, gone.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it's like that arrogance. Like, Vince's arrogance has done him in again. And this time, there's really nothing, like, you know. Oh. Maybe that's why he was cashing out all those stocks.
And this is the time that, and this is the new news part of this segment. The fact that John Laurinaitis,
yes,
through his lawyer, is now turning on Vince.
Okay.
And saying that he is also a victim in this situation, that is something.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Okay, I don't understand. So his defense is going to be that Vince was so intimidating and so aggressive, whatever, that he purposely had sex with this girl to make Vince happy so he didn't lose his job? Like, I don't know.
That seems like the only argument that could be had. It also seems like one of those ones where, because one of the articles that I read, it's like, hold on, aren't you admitting all this stuff happened then?
Yes. That was my other thing. And it's like, whoa. So, like, yeah.
Like, not great to be Vince right now.
The whole thing, it's not strange. This is what happens. We just happen to know about it because we follow wrestling. And yes, it is a worldwide story. But for this sort of stuff, it's like, yeah, like this constant yes man, which is what he was, so maybe that is it. But it's like, dude, if you're double teaming some girl, you've got to be into it. You know?
Oh.
With guys, certain things have to happen. So it's always like, I don't know if that's like a primitive way of looking at it or not, but clearly didn't mind. Especially if you got your naked 7-year-old boss in the room with you, because you know that's a horror show. If his face is any indication. And I know you can get plastic. I know you can get cosmetic surgery on like your balls and stuff, but I mean,
yeah,
that's got to be a nightmare.
You are still that old.
Yeah,
you can get some stuff worked on, and hey, going to the gym can help out a bunch. But
exercise for that.
Time is undefeated. Is that the Joe Rogan statement usually? Yes. I think.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I'm sorry. I have a hard time with this one, but I appreciate the fact that he just basically said, I was made to do it though. I was totally made to do this. Because that sounds like divorce coming quick.
No, honey,
trust me. I was part of all these gangbangs, but he made me go there with four of the guys. He made me do this. Like, and I guess, like, people in power that are overpowered by people in power don't make any sense to me either. John Laurinaitis is not a poor man. you know? So it's like, what are you going to hold over me? I'm already a millionaire over, many times over. So it's not like he's taking one of the rigging guys who's making $40,000 a year. And he's like, hey, I want you to be in here and do this stuff or you're fired. He's like, wait, what? No, get in here and do this. He's like, well, I'm not really into this, but okay. Like, I need my job. You know, that to me is more of an abuse of power. And
yeah, you work your doesn't the Bella mom work? Or I used to work at some point?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Okay.
I'm sure she's got some, you know, I do marketing for my girl. Ugh, so.
Well, that could be the case now, but.
I'm sure she had some other boutique thing she did, but.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember just because I feel like I watched enough of. Was she on Total Divas at all?
The mom was on that Total Bella show.
Oh, okay. I thought that they had kind of introduced her on Total Divas, is what my mind is telling me. That is probably long enough ago, though, that also my brain has shut out large portions of that show.
I mean, that's just mental. That wasn't even candy. Just mental bullshit, so. But yeah, man. Like, and then this is also going to open up a whole can of worms of who knew. I mean, listen, we always hear about all the people who are really close with Vince. And don't, I mean, maybe The Undertaker's different because he's like a born-again Christian and all that stuff.
No, right.
And maybe he separated himself. I don't know. But it's especially just this case is, what, two, three years. You really think he's been good the whole time? Like, you don't think he was doing stuff like this when there's other lawsuits or, you know, going all the way back to the 80s, all this stuff? So.
I mean, this is definitely something that that's been covered, but how many lawsuits? Because last year when Vince got temporarily kicked out, how many women's names came up? Like 3 or 4?
Yeah.
That there were confirmed payments, and like it ended up totaling like 17? Almost $10 million or something.
No, it was more than that.
Oh, okay. I couldn't remember what the okay.
More so, than $1 is a lot.
You know, and those were also all, you know, relatively recent, if I'm not mistaken. Like, I feel like I remember the 2010s being thrown around in a couple of those instances.
Yeah.
You know, again, like, he didn't just start pooping on young ladies at the age of 70, whatever.
So
you know, though that happened to those women that got $7 million or whatever they got.
Yeah. Or who knows, God knows. I mean,
yeah.
It's just kind of gross. It's like, again, if it's consensual and you're both into it, then fine. It's fine. I mean, I don't see the appeal, but go for it, you know?
Right.
But just do that to somebody. You know, like, God, that's terrible. I mean, it's gross. I mean, obviously. But, like, you can get sick. Depending on what you're doing. So, and then, you know, the whole joke of it is, like, well, what goes on after that? Like, you gotta communicate after that? That's something else.
That has got to be awkward. Yeah.
Yeah, like, okay. I mean, I'm not trying to make light of it, but there's a definite, like, humor in here. To where, like I was talking about earlier, just like that disaster of an old man just doing that. And then you've got to negotiate stuff after, which I guess you didn't negotiate ahead of time, so you don't have to after, but. Yeah, there's some, like, can you imagine the connection you have to have with someone to do that consensually? Hey, I got an idea.
I don't think.
Yeah, what's that? Hear me out. Let's go drinking. We'll go to Taco Bell afterwards. And then, just hear me out. I know, sounds like a great plan, right? then I just want you to be with me on this. Like, and I would just like to like just I'd like to defecate on you. Defecate? You want to shit on me? Yeah. Well, I'm really happy you brought that to me. I'm glad that you feel safe with me. And I'll try that for you. That has happened. Maybe not the Taco Bell drinking. That conversation has happened in life. Millions of times, I bet you. I bet you millions of times.
It has...
It has never crossed my mind.
I feel like I may have brought it up in jest. Just because it was out there. That stuff got shut down in a hurry. You okay, know, like, let's see, even... Let's see. There are some things... And this is not to speak ill of the dead, that even she was not willing to go for.
She wouldn't get a real job. Do you think she's going to let you do that?
I mean...
Get the fuck out of here.
I'm just going to say that... we'll just best leave things unsaid, I guess.
But... At least, like, yours was in jest. She took it seriously. Okay. Like, the conversation where it actually was like, all right, let's achieve this possibility.
Yeah.
I told you about the girl that liked when guys peed in her when I moved here. I know we're recording this. I don't care. I don't talk to her. I don't even know her name.
In her or on her?
Yes. In.
How?
And I'm like, my first thought, this is how my mind works, goes, what about the mattress? Like, there's a finite amount of space. What are you guys doing? Yeah, she used to get UTIs all the time. And he told us, like, this is a really messed up thing. And this is like, this is kind of the reverse of the Vince McMahon thing, to be honest. Because she was making him do all this stuff. She made this guy get a tummy tuck because she said he was too fat. He was 23 years old. And I looked at him, and I'm like, what? Yeah, she said my stomach was too chunky, so I'm like, oh my God. This girl was a complete disaster, too. So,
my gosh.
So that's how we can wrap up the Vince McMahon thing. Things like this really happen in real life, but they're consensual. Or you do them because there's a rich old man who's just going to take advantage of you, and God knows where this is going to go. Because this one's not going away.
Three consecutive shows now. Like, it's had – well, okay. So Godzilla Minus One was the first topic, but this is wrestling topic number one. Vince McMahon, just something keeps on happening in this saga. And agree, like, it is, this is not the last chapter. Again, especially when John Laurinaitis starts throwing Vince under the bus, this is going to get worse before it gets better.
Yeah, and it's just like, all right, what more is to come unless they settle this thing? Because it's civil. So, hurry up. Here's your money. Don't say anything. That is the best course of action for TKO. Pay your ass off. And I know that sounds harsh to say it that way, but for their business standpoint, yeah, this is the best way to go. And then internally, you can be like, you're gone.
And I mean, to kind of speak of it, you know, there's no way to completely confirm it. But there definitely has been at least some word out there that Braun Breaker took the Brock Lesnar spot at the Royal Rumble this past weekend.
Yeah, and I thought it was fine. I was wondering why Dominic eliminated him. Because it didn't seem like – actually kind of like the whole men's Royal Rumble. It just seemed like anticlimactic. Like, oh, you're gone. Where, like, the story, if that was Brock, that would have been huge.
Oh.
Like, that would have been a Maven one. People still remember Maven getting rid of The Undertaker. So, And then I guess they were going to set up a match with Brock and Dominic. He was going to destroy Dominic in Australia. And it's like, okay.
That would have been funny.
Yeah, but it's like, you're flying these guys all the way out there for that?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess honestly, how many of those Brock Lesnar matches in Saudi Arabia have been basically squash matches?
He never fought Goldberg in Saudi Arabia, did he?
I don't think so.
Who did he... I don't even remember his matches.
He might have had a Bobby Lashley match there. I want to say.
Was that the blow-off one where he just kicked him in the balls?
Maybe.
Okay.
It's hard to... I don't know if I can get the Brock Lesnar only Saudi Arabia matches to pull up on cagematch.net or something.
Yeah. But no, man, it's... I thought, so, I know I didn't talk about the Rumble much, I didn't get a chance to, but I thought the women's was far better than the men's.
Agreed.
Just because the men's was so anticlimactic. I don't mean the end, I just mean like there was no like, oh my god stuff.
The women had all kinds of fun stuff go on in their matchup, and there wasn't anything even remotely as close in the fun department.
No.
In the men's.
Yeah.
Because even the surprises like Braun Breaker weren't kind of big surprises. I mean, maybe it hurts because, you know, Roxanne and Tiffany Stratton made debuts earlier in the evening, so you're like, oh, okay, so there's going to be some NXT talent filling in. Again, great spot, but you also kind of spoil the party a little bit that way.
Yeah.
The men's match just wasn't laid out great. Like, yeah, there's just, again, a lot more fun stuff. The Kairi Sane spot was fun on the women's side. Doing her Spider Woman gimmick, and those surprises, Naomi.
That was cool. That was actually really cool.
Jordan. I know that Jordynne Grace was. The fact that it was A, her, and B, they acknowledged that she was TNA Knockouts champion on a premium live event.
Yeah. And then she looked good, and then she got murdered. The only way she got tossed was she got murdered, basically. A kiss of death on the ring apron? Like, holy shit. That's terrible.
You end up having one of your top stars, if not your top star, eliminate her from the match.
Yeah.
Like, not a bad way to go out.
Yeah, so, there were those big moments. And the one I could not believe what I was watching, when Tiffany Stratton went over and was yanking on Bianca Belair's hair.
Oh.
And, Bianca's holding on. And I'm like, is she supposed to be bracing with her, her arm on her shoulder? I mean, Bianca's neck is going sideways. I'm like, Jesus Christ! Eliminate him already. That was frightening.
That's one of those ones where Jeff Hardy pulled it off on maybe Collision this week, or maybe it was on Dynamite here. The gauge ear spot. It always is.
Dynamite.
Huh? Okay. That's always like, oh my gosh, like, okay, I understand that it's really just cartilage and it doesn't hurt that much, but it's still something. Bianca Belair has that happen so much that I'm like, man, that's just got to hurt. Like, I remember just anyone pulling on my scalp being uncomfortable when I had long hair.
Well, see, I would think, when she gets it pulled on the regular, at least, I'm sure they're not, yanking. You know, it's pretty long. Then give a tug. She can feel it and go backwards, right?
Yeah.
This is just swinging on it like it's a rope. Oh, could not believe. I'm like, you guys cleared this? Hey, I got. All right, I don't know who brought it to who. So I got a really good idea. Okay, now imagine Bianca went to Tiffany with this. It was like, this is how we're gonna eliminate. Tiffany's like, yeah, no. I've been doing this for 2 years. No.
Well,
you'll be fine. Trust me. I mean, I'm gonna just go with what the veteran wants, but.
Well, it is kind of interesting too. In a very non-offensive way, Tiffany Stratton, not the smallest of the ladies on the roster.
No, I've seen her in person. She's not.
So
I mean, she's not exactly tall, but she ain't like. Is thick's not the right word here. Like, she's got that gymnast body where, well, maybe thick is the right word. But
she's definitely muscular. So, it's not like, Roxanne. Like, Roxanne is just physically smaller, period, end of sentence. Like, if she does that spot, you're like, oh, okay, maybe I can kind of understand. I mean, she shouldn't be in that situation given the face-to-face dynamic and all that stuff, but... You know, at least size-wise, you're like, oh, okay, I can kind of understand how this is getting pulled off. Tiffany isn't a big girl in the nicest way.
Yeah.
And for Bianca to do that is pretty wild.
Yeah. I mean, I know, like, the Rumbles. No, the Rumble was just Saturday. Goddamn. Listen, man, I had a long weekend. So my days are slowly coming back to me. My voice is somewhat getting better, so after months of yelling, but I forgot. I'm like, why are we covering the Rumble? That was like 2 weeks ago. It wasn't. It was just Saturday.
Yep.
Yeah.
The residue still happening here.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, Dynamite. Like, I know we usually cover Dynamite and NXT. Dynamite was just boring to me to the point where I fell asleep and I did not feel like watching it again. So I'd rather much rather talk about something that was fun than like, whatever.
Dynamite was just there this week. Like it wasn't bad, but it also wasn't great. I mean, one of the funnier parts was Taya Valkyrie not realizing how heavy her own cape was and not being able to jump up to the ring apron.
I love Taya. That sucks, really.
I mean, both the wife and I saw it. And it was just like, yep. I'm just gonna. I just feel like there's a reason why she's kind of been left in the dust at this point.
I'll have to go back and look. That sucks.
You know, like. There are just better women ahead of her at this point. Like, I can kind of, like, even under Triple H, I'm like, they would have done a better job with her. I don't know. They don't need her on that NXT roster, though.
Wait, who?
Taya Valkyrie.
Oh, you said NXT. You meant AEW.
No, I meant NXT. Like, everyone kind of made the big deal, like, she didn't end up getting utilized very well in NXT. Yeah. I mean, the use hasn't gotten any better in AEW. And her the match itself, too, I'm like, there just still seem to be spots where she just seems slow to me.
Well, we talked about before, she's gotten muscular. Like, and that's going to slow you down.
Yeah, and she's still trying to do the same type of match. And it's just like, I don't...
Yeah, I mean, that's...
It's not working for her.
You gotta realize that stuff. So, well, that sucks. But, like, that's why I didn't feel like talking about AEW. It's like, whatever.
Yeah.
It's just whatever.
Yeah, the only thing that... the only other good thing I can say about AEW... Kind of glad that we're not getting a triple threat match for the championship, and it's going to be Swerve and Adam Page 3 for a crack at Samoa Joe.
Don't say that yet, because did they say what the time limit is?
Oh, I don't remember if they built that stip in.
So, there you go.
Yep. Okay. There still is a road to that.
So, but
Okay. Well, then the one upside of AEW might not be, end up being an upside.
I mean, we can come back to AEW next week. It's fine. And that's what the show's become. It's like, oh, we'll get it later. But yeah, for the Rumble though, and I know I'm not skipping NXT because there is some goofy shit we have to talk about NXT. But real quick, the Women's Royal Rumble was good because you got Jade Cargill, which we all kind of knew was going to show up. And boy, was it worth it. Listen, she got in that ring, and I'm so dumb sometimes, it never occurred to me she could feud with Bianca Belair. Never. They show Becky, Charlotte, I don't know, does she interrupt Bayley at all?
I don't know how much her and Bailey interacted.
Because they also did have, she was in NXT for something, I can't remember. But anyways, so it never occurred to me her and Bianca Belair are going to face off eventually. And when they were standing there in the ring together and they were holding, Becky and whoever she had above her, whoever Bianca had, and the whole crowd started swelling, I was like, oh my God, he's right. They're right. Like, let's go.
Yeah, it would not be. Chris and I talked about it, but it would not be completely shocking if that happened this year, because it does not seem like Bianca Belair is in a position to be in one of the championship matches.
No.
Because Nia Jax, I don't think is going to make it to WrestleMania. I mean, you could stretch that Rhea Ripley, Nia
No.
Jax stuff out that long, but it
No, they're
doesn't.
doing that in Australia. So
Yeah,
that
they're.
Rhea's
Yeah.
the face.
Yeah, I think that's kind of a done deal. So you got someone going after her. I don't think Bayley's going to wait that long, but we do need the official damage control turn before. That can really go full steam.
Which is obvious. It's clear what's going to happen, and it should. So it's fine. The curious thing would be is where Dakota Kai goes, because they need a mouthpiece. So does she turn along with the rest of Damage Control on Bayley? Because she's the one that's always been supportive of Kai.
I think that she has done a very good job of being disingenuous while also being supportive. So, to me, I would not be completely shocked if she also turns. 'Cause like you
Especially
said,
she's still hurt.
mouthpiece.
She's still hurt, so same thing there with attitude.
Yeah, she says she's
So
close and myself amongst the eagle eyes of the wrestling crew noticed that she was not wearing a brace this week, so.
Oh yeah, she said on her stream she forgot it.
Nah.
Which is a interesting way. Like, how do you forget something you're supposed to be wearing? So, but anyways.
Yeah, it seems like it should always be with you then if you're it should be on.
But no, like the women's match though, man, I mean when Becky got eliminated, you heard that crowd was like, oh my God. And then like
No.
rapid fire, just yeah, it was just it seemed like every elimination mattered. Where in the men's Royal Rumble, it was okay.
Yeah.
Like there were stories there, but none of them got told. I mean, Finn Balor and Dominic just got eliminated like it was nothing. I thought that was very weird.
Yeah, I don't know if Damian Priest, because like they did bring up the fact that Damian Priest could have a backup plan for his Money in the Bank briefcase, which is, a fine story to run with. But also, like, I guess I don't really remember how he got eliminated. Like, it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, like no one's elimination seemed to be a big deal. And I guess maybe they were just building that spot for Brock to get eliminated by Dominic. Like, everyone got eliminated inconsequentially. So, like the Kofi thing. I'm like, all right, so have we given up on Kofi moments? Because that one certainly was a mistake like it was the other year.
Oh, yeah, he was out.
Yeah.
There was zero disputing that one.
Yeah. So, I mean, the one, all right, I do remember R-Truth got eliminated by Damian Priest, which I thought was a very good. Like, you're trying to get Priest to be the bad guy. So, that's a good way of doing it. But, yeah. It felt lackluster to me. And the end, when it came down to CM Punk and Cody, I was like, oh, all right. I actually don't know what they're going to do. And, I mean, all the betting money was on Cody, because you can always put, you know, Punk in with Seth in the other way you want. But I thought the end was satisfying. I liked how Cody immediately pointed at Roman and go, I choose you. He did that right there Saturday. Or Sunday morning, I guess. So,
yeah.
But then, like, the other two matches I thought were fine.
Yeah, they're Rumble matches.
Yeah, and I didn't once think Roman stood a chance of losing. But then as soon as Solo showed up, I just went, oh my God, are we doing this again? Like, that Roman stuff is just dead. In a four-way match, where they're not actually all teaming up just on him, the outside interference wasn't needed. It should have just been he sneaks in and wins, you know. And I know they want to be dominant and this and that, but it's okay if Randy Orton hits the RKO, LA Knight hits, I can never remember what his finisher is called.
Snap case or something like that.
Yeah, I kept wanting to call it end of days, but I know.
No, a snap case isn't right, but
it's not. But whatever, you know. That one.
Yeah.
And then, you know, AJ comes in and he spears. AJ comes in to hit LA Knight. He spears him, throws LA Knight out, and pins AJ real quick to show that he actually is good. And like, and it would have helped the announcers' case, who were acting like fucking dumbasses. Well, you know, people talk about the amount of times Roman's defended the title and how he's done it. It's like, yeah. It's not a big deal if you're champion for 3 years and you've defended it 9 times, or whatever it is. He's like, well, yeah, beat him. If he never wrestles, it's impossible. So it's like, just stop. Like, it's almost like that seemed like a very Vince thing to do. Like, this is my creation. Don't question my creation. Like, no.
Yeah, I mean, this is one where I don't know how, because I remember someone already pitching Cody has to go to next year's WrestleMania to win, and I'm like, no.
It's dead if he does.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, he got through last year. It shouldn't have happened last year. It has definitely been a Chris and Kevin hobby horse for the past nearly calendar year. Like, should not have happened last year, and it really should not happen this year. Like, nothing that Roman has done in the meantime has needed a championship belt. Nothing.
Exactly.
The split with the Usos, the, you know, Jay or Jimmy coming back and Jay end up breaking away, like all of that stuff did not need a championship belt in play.
No, not at all. Unless they knew they were going to make this world title and they wanted to make sure the focus would be on that being defended all the time. But I'm grasping at straws.
Because, I mean, I was one, and maybe this is a good spot for you to continue talking. I liked the Seth Rollins sales pitch to Cody. Do I think Cody's going to take it? Not even the snowball's chance in hell. But I like the sales pitch. Like, it's something that you need to do. You know, Seth has enough of an ego that I understand where it's coming from him. Chris, not a fan. Which side of the debate are you on?
I mean, I know, like, they're trying to make some drama out of it, but what Seth said didn't make any sense to me. Do you want to be the champion of the title that gets defended all the time, blah, blah, blah? It's like, well, I can be WWE champion and defend it all the time. Like, it rang hollow.
Yeah, that was the only thing to me that I'm just like, well, he can just defend it more than Roman Reigns. Like, it's a really easy solution here, guys.
Yeah. It's like, all right, well, I don't, I mean, I appreciate it. I understand what you mean, but this is the guy that, you know, cheated to win. That's what he's been doing, is cheating to win, cheating to win. The WWE title needs to be around the guy, needs to be around someone more honorable. I guess as a babyface, can't say that, but, you know, we have to put some respect back on the WWE title. And that's it, you know? So, like, Seth, like, I get it, and it's polite for Cody to go, I'll think about it, but it didn't, it just rang hollow to me. Like, I didn't,
yeah,
just, like, a bunch of words and a bunch of words. I'm going, oh, if I beat you, it's also not nearly as impressive as beating Roman. Like, okay, I beat Seth for a championship that's not even a year old.
And a guy who's injured.
Oh, there's that too. Yeah, there's that too. So,
yeah.
So why did you like it? I'm curious.
You kind of knew that because of the CM Punk injury, they needed something to extend this timeline. And I thought Seth did as much as he could do to defend his own title and to talk it up. And again, like, I mean, I feel like you've seen Seth slowly turning heel again, even though people are still singing his song. And this was kind of one of those sales pitches, like, where he has enough of an ego that he thinks that his title is more important than Roman Reigns.
And
I mean, part of the problem, and Chris kind of comes down this part, like, it makes your title look less valuable. You know, like, it points out that your title is less valuable.
Yes. And I guess that's where Cody would need to say, you know what? If things were different, if I didn't need to get even with Roman, so, like, choose your words carefully, then yeah, this would be a no-brainer. You'd be the end of my story. My story became more like Roman became the villain of the story. You're not. I have to erase the failure of the past. The only way I can do that is by beating Roman this year.
Yeah, that's the angle that they need to go with. Without that, that's the best way to not insult that his Seth's championship. Yeah, I still think that there are plenty of people that can come into Seth's life, though, that will make that a fun match. Is it going to close one of the nights of WrestleMania? Probably not.
No, I think if Rhea and Becky are one of the the match, that'll main event night one.
Oh, right.
There's no saying Rock won't be there too. So who knows? I mean, it's really up in the air right now, which is nice. Because I like the chaos of this stuff. And yes, I know we can go and read, we can analyze, blah blah blah. No, I kind of just like this. Oh. But I honestly think it should be Gunther. And Gunther should beat him and hold both titles like the fucking Ultimate Warrior did. and then have Adam Pearce go, you have to give up the Intercontinental title. Like, we're not doing this. We're not going to become SmackDown where one guy has the titles. So, no. You know, or how SmackDown used to be.
Oh, right. You
know? So I've read somebody was, like, suggesting, well, let's make the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal more important on night two. That will be for Gunther's title. So have Gunther, Seth, night one. Gunther beats him. Seth can go get fixed up, whatever he wants to do. And then Adam Pearce is like, you can't be a double champion. So you can say longest running undefeated champion. But the Andre the Giant, in that way you can get people we actually care about in this Andre the Giant one, if they even do it.
Oh, yeah.
It's just an idea, and I don't think it's a bad one, but no one likes battle royals establishing a champion, but hey.
Yeah, at least this battle royal has a nice, a great name attached to it.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's fine. So,
yeah.
But yeah, no, it was nice window dressing, but we already know what's going to happen.
Well, yeah. That definitely dampens things, but like I said, I guess I'm good with them giving it the old college try, as the kids like to say.
Could you imagine if Cody does choose Seth, he beats Seth for that title, Roman beats Rock or whoever he faces, and at WrestleMania 41, it's Cody and Roman for both titles?
That to me would be the only acceptable way to get Cody to next year in facing Roman Reigns.
Yeah, because it also keeps them separate too.
Yeah, that could actually work. Like of all weird things, like yeah, I haven't seen that sales pitch, and I'm agreeable to it.
Yeah, I don't know. That just came to me. But then it's like, are we afraid of Cody burnout by then? So, because Cody's going to be like his dad. It's always going to be about the chase. Then win it. Dusty didn't draw that much when he was chasing, when he was champion. It was always when he was chasing. So. You know.
It is the babyface. I mean, it's the babyface conundrum in the WWE. I mean, how many times we talked about babyfaces just like shit in the bed after they become champ?
Yeah.
I feel like if we went through the archives, it's been talked about one too many times on this podcast.
Yeah, but the funny thing is, like, Cody.
Actually, Seth is a perfect example. Like, he turns on, was it the corporation? Is that what the Triple H group was called?
The Authority.
The Authority. That's what it was. But yeah, Seth finally turns on the Authority, gets the babyface title run, and I mean, just a disaster. And then I feel like he got another babyface run, and it was a disaster. I don't know what the WWE has a bad problem with babyface champions. Like they almost always inevitably need someone to be chasing to be popular.
But they were the company that had the babyface champions.
It has been a long time, though.
Yeah, I know. They just totally forgot how to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know times have changed, too, but still. I mean, not that much. Well, yeah, I guess they haven't changed that much. But, yeah, so it's – I guess we'll know – I guess the Elimination Chamber is going to be where they name Rhea Ripley's opponent. And I guess Becky – it sounds like it's going to be Becky because, as Chris has pointed out multiple times – they've kept them separate for a long time.
Oh.
So.
It's been absurd.
How long have we been going anyways? Do you know?
Long enough.
Shit. All right. Oh, yeah. Hour and a half. All right. So real quick. NXT was fun.
Oh.
Chase U makes absolutely no sense. how selling a bikini calendar is going to save a university that's already been foreclosed on, I don't know. But also, what I was telling you on text.
Seems a little late in the process to be telling them that they're going to have money here.
But then also, a bikini calendar is so 80s, 90s. I can go and see like these bikini models naked if I want to online, you know? So it's just goofy. And it, I told you, it's like an 80s sex comedy. We're going to have a bikini car wash. All right. Like, whatever.
It's all been, this whole Chase U thing has been very, you know, I don't want to say Animal House, but, you know.
I mean, oh, that video package was great.
You know, it's definitely had a strong 80s vibe to the whole thing.
But my thing was, she's like, yeah, let's bring out the bikini models of Chase U. And they all come out in regular clothes. It's like, wait a second.
I think some of them were in business attire. And I mean, they're college students. I expect them to be dressed in pajamas at best.
Well, when you introduce a bunch of bikini models, I expect them to come out in a bikini. I know this isn't like the Attitude Era, but it would have been like, you can't go half in, half out with ideas. In or out.
Yeah, they needed to be a little sexier.
Yeah, but I mean, that was just, it was just goofy fun. And goofy fun, Von Wagner loses clean to Noam Dar. And Robert Stone's kids are becoming part of the story, which I am all for. That, they seem like little business suits, cracked me up. And Noam Dar talking smack to him. Then he puts him through a table. The kids are like, yeah! I'm like, this is the wrong message. You lost clean. The rest, whatever. I mean, you get to it another day, but...
Hold on. There were a couple of... Because the Chase U stuff killed me. I feel like there were a couple of other vignettes that I was just falling over laughing about. But I don't know what they... Like, I'm trying to do a quick run through.
Dogs thing.
Yeah.
Corbin saying wolf dogs all the time. Oh, Dijak and Joe Gacy.
Yes.
I can't wait to see that South Sunday. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, because it was just so ridiculous. And just even, I'm like, okay. Like, I am already starting to go, okay, maybe I can see why they decided to just make Ava Raine a character instead of putting her in the ring. I'm like, because... And Joe Gacy just doing the pop-up, hey, I'm fine. Like, I mean, he's a fucking, I called him Wile E. Coyote on Twitter. Like, he takes a fall off of some high height into a trash can and then gets up and is like, yeah, I'm ready to fight still. It's like, come on, this is some cartoon bullshit that's going on and I'm here for it.
Yeah. And like, that's gonna be a drag out Sunday. I mean, look at the matches, the physical matches that Dijak has, and now you got a guy who's not afraid to be just as physical. That's gonna be fun.
Yeah.
I mean, Dijak's an unheralded guy, and I know he was in there with Dragunov for some of them, but still, even the ones with him and Wes Lee, he's quietly having a great run, but his character's so goofy. Where is he sitting at a desk in, like, that lamp? Like, NXT is so damn stupid that, but they're all in on it, so that's okay. There's no wink nudge, you know?
Yeah. I mean, he has consistently been in that low-lit area, and even when Joe Gacy's like, oh, yeah, I already recorded something on your little tape. The fact that they have... Again, like an 80s style tape recorder for some reason.
For no reason whatsoever.
No reason.
Except that it just fits.
Whatsoever.
It's like, what was, and then they have like that bar area where there's no alcohol.
Oh yeah, they have the little island and kitchenette.
That... Yes, yes. Okay. Now, the one thing no one's really talking about is this Brooks Jensen thing. He keeps getting blown off. Under the radar, so it's like, where this is going to go.
Yeah, I didn't remember it happening last week, but I'm like, oh, Fallon really... Well, A, it's always like, dude, you're coming in at the wrong time. Like, can't you see I'm, like, literally warming up for a match here?
Yeah.
Maybe come up to me earlier in the day, throwing it out there.
That's what no one wants to talk to anymore. But
yeah, it does seem like he's... Because they've... I was kind of surprised it seemed like Briggs was going to be the one to go heel. But if they keep on doing segments like this, you can definitely see Jensen being the one that snaps.
Or he, you know, cost Briggs a match on accident trying to help, and Briggs does turn heel.
Oh.
Like, you guys all abandoned me or something. I don't know.
Yeah. He could just freak out because he cost them a match, and then that's what makes him a heel.
But yeah, so... No, that was my little thing with the NXT. I'm sure there's other stuff, but we spent too much time on other things. So, whatever. See a pump being hurt, that sucks, but it'll be fine.
Yep. Bell time beer on your end, sir.
No, I have to try out. So.
This is one that I am still clearing out some older beers here. Eastern Market Brewing Company out of Detroit, Michigan. It's been around since I went to the MAC championship game for Kent State, which was, I think, a couple of years ago. But this one is, what the hell is it called? What's the name? They just have straight-ahead names. Spicy Cinnamon Candy Amber Ale. And that's exactly what it is. Description meets exactly what it is. And I like amber ales. They usually sit on the sweeter side of things. And the cinnamon isn't overwhelming in it. And it kind of felt like a Christmassy winter. Well, I mean, it doesn't fucking feel like winter out there when it's 50 degrees out. But hey, it's a wintry beer. It's February. So it's still winter, supposedly. Belltime beer from at DeFrango11. He is at Granny Maze. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any other locations like Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Amazon. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later, gang.